City. It's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll. I still remember when
you used to be 9 years old. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting on location. Been filming all day yesterday, the day before, and today. And this is the beginning of a 90-day clinical trial. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep you informed each Monday during the next 12 weeks. In any case, today we're going to start with looking at broccoli sprouts, a compound that has the potential for people diagnosed suffering from schizophrenia, Johns Hopkins University. But also today, I'm going to put more emphasis upon multiple different issues. For example, I'm going to share some 10 reasons why Greta Thunberg could improve her message, expand it, since she's gotten people's attention, on things we can do immediately without having any of the corporatists take over. But then I'm also going today to show you who I believe is behind this young, and I believe completely innocent, and fully manipulated young girl. She's 16 years old. And I happened to watch a video of her yesterday that has not been on the internet anywhere, where she was with a group, and she was asked a question by a reporter, and she had no answer, because it wasn't one of her talking points. And so I thought, maybe that's just that one. No, throughout the entire hour, unless you ask her something that she had already put into her talking point, she couldn't answer. Then we start to look at who's really behind her, and is it good or not? And I'm going to show you those people, because there's going to be contradictions that I'm going to show you. For example, there is a group that you're going to hear more about and see who's associated with it, who's funding, called One. I believe that what Greta is doing is extremely important, and I fully support her. In fact, we've even sent her about 13 of our important articles showing the issues at a much deeper level. But it's how she's being controlled and how this movement is being directed that you're not being told. Who's going to benefit from this, with hundreds of billions of dollars now going to be spent by governments around the world so they can show that they're dealing with environmental issues? Just a handful of corporations are going to control all this. So today I'm going to play you a clip, just part of it. You can listen to all of it. It's up on our website, of who the people are behind her. So don't conflate the issue, meaning her message is legitimate. It needs to be heard. We fully support her. We're sending her articles. In fact, I've sent her three documentaries, Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time, for example, Plant Codes, and Curing the Incurable, all based upon a low-carbon output by eating a plant-based diet. But I do not support the people behind her. I do not support, nor do I like, Al Gore or anything he stands for. He is the person also behind this, but he's only one of many people behind this. So we're going to get into all that on today's show. And I'm going to start something I think is important. I was speaking with some young people, meaning teenagers and people in their early 20s, and I was just curious about their knowledge of history. So I mentioned some names to them, and I asked them, and not a name rang a bell. And I'm talking about people of all ethnic backgrounds. And I said, haven't you listened about these people or learned about them in your history classes? No. New people today, yes. So I'm going to start a new series, and I'm going to go around the world, and I'm taking every major country. This will take 3 or 4 years to complete. And I'm going to start with Africans and African Americans. I'll go to Native Americans. I'll go to Caribbean, members of the Caribbean community who came from other parts of the world. And I'll go around the world showing you the most remarkable minds whose philosophies and efforts and activists cause an entire movement. For example, if I mentioned Martin Luther King, most people today would know Martin Luther King. Well, who motivated Martin Luther King? There was one person more than any other, Marcus Garvey. Who motivated Malcolm X before he was a black Muslim? Marcus Garvey. Who motivated Elijah Muhammad, who was the head and founder of the Islamic movement in the United States, as it became known, the Nation of Islam, Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was a student, a protege of, Elijah Muhammad was a protege of Marcus Garvey. Muhammad Ali, when he was Cassius Clay, was Marcus Garvey. Ask the average person, do you know Marcus Garvey? He wasn't an African-American, he was Jamaican-American. He was a journalist, an activist. Have you read the Meditations of Marcus Garvey? The Allusions to Meditations of Marcus Garvey? Written from prison? He should be exonerated. But I'm going to go through, and I'm going to share history lessons of remarkable minds, all ethnicities, all countries, from all over the world, because I'm finding a lot of people don't realize the progenitor or the beginning of a movement and a thought. We have to know what that person represented to see if the current manifestation of it, an incarnation, is honoring that. People like Socrates, Maimonides, Montaigne, the great minds, Voltaire. Are we following Hippocratic principles today? No, we are not. So, for example, just on African Americans, I believe that every American, no matter what your background, should know about Phyllis Wheatley. She was a kidnapped slave from West Africa. She was the first African American, one of the first women, to write poetry about the American colonies. Have you read her poems? Poems on various subjects in religious and moral? Or David Waller, a black abolitionist. Notably, he wrote Appeal to the Colored Citizens of the World in 1829. He was the most radical document in the history of the anti-slavery movement. It was banned at the time and secretly printed and distributed. How can we appreciate the importance of understanding slavery if we don't understand those who were a part of the slavery movement and were abolitionists and fought against it and wrote about it? What were their views? We need to know that. William Wells Brown, abolitionist and regarded as the first African-American novelist, he wrote Clotel, or The President's Daughter. By the way, that was actually a fictionalized, factual book upon Thomas Jefferson's slave daughter, Sally Hemings. And what about Frederick Douglass? Yes, most people in the African community would know about Frederick Douglass, and those who care about history would. Have you read his autobiography, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave, or Harriet Jacobs, the first autobiography by a formerly enslaved African-American woman about her experience of sexual exploitation that made slavery especially oppressive for black women. Also, she wrote Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl in 1861. And of course, Zora Hurston, she was a folklorist, an anthropologist, a novelist. She wrote Their Eyes Were Watching God. And that was based on her fieldwork in Haiti in 1937. And Richard Wright, the novelist and social activist, Uncle Tom's Children, Black Boy and Native Son, W.E. Du Bois, The Souls of Black Folk, and the Emerging Thoughts of Him, Essays and Editorials, Langston Hughes, the writer and leader of the Harlem Renaissance movement, earlier innovator of the jazz poetry. By the way, that was before the Beats, Way of the White Folks, in the play Mulatto, The Weary Blues. And of course, we know Martin Luther King, and notably Strength to Love and The Trumpet of Conscience. And James Baldwin, the novelist and poet and social critic called the quintessential American writer. Who knows him today except people who were motivated by him or read his work? 99% of young people, millennials, have no idea who James Baldwin was. Well, let him read Go Tell It on the Mountain or Giovanni's Room, at the time raised issues of race and homosexuality. See if that doesn't give them a different perspective. And Ralph Ellison, the social critic and writer and scholar of The Invisible Man, and Alex Haley. Younger people may not know him. He wrote Roots, an autobiography of Malcolm X, and August Wilson, the playwright of the Pittsburgh Cycle. And how about Octavia Butler? Broke new ground as African-American women science fiction writer. Won 2 Hugo and 2 Nebula Awards. Wrote Kindred. And Alice Walker, The Color Purple. Toni Morrison just passed, The Bluest Eye and The Song of Solomon in Beloved, and Maya Angelou, who I interviewed on my radio program in 1967. We're talking about over 55 years ago. I interviewed Maya Angelou, and at that time it was Why the Caged Bird Sings. And she would call me and ask me about health issues. And also she was interested in why I was spending all that time every day in Harlem at the County Colon and Schoenberg Library every day for 7 years doing my research for what would become the first book written on African Americans in Hollywood called Black Hollywood. She was wonderful. So that's just an example off the top of my head of African Americans, or in case of Marcus Garvey, Jamaican American, or African Jamaican. But I'm going to go around the world, every continent, every country, because there are thousands of remarkable human beings that we should be connected to, because they were the ones who were the first to speak truth to power, to rebel, who suffered the consequences. So that's a new series that I have coming very shortly. Now, let's go to the latest on health and healing. I suggest broccoli sprouts. As often as you wish, every day, have some in your salad. Now, they've long been used, according to Johns Hopkins University, by health-conscious individuals to help provide a wide range of nutrients, but they go far beyond that. Researchers have found that they have what is called sulforaphane, S-U-L-F-O-R-A-P-H-A-N-E. That's a compound found naturally in broccoli sprouts and other cruciferous vegetables, and that can help not just prevent cancer or help you if you have cancer, it can also help your brain, especially if you experience what we call schizophrenia. And they did their research, and they found that those experiencing psychosis had a statistically significant lower amount of glutamate in their anterior cingulate cortex as compared to healthy individuals. Just so you understand, glutamate is a brain chemical that sends signals between neurons, and heightens activity of glutamate has been shown to be related to depression and schizophrenia. And the researchers found that there is a significant reduction in glutathione, one of the brain's best antioxidants. What's interesting is that glutathione is made by three different compounds, and one of these compounds is glutamate. So sulforaphane comes into the picture because it turns out that it can turn on a gene that makes more of the enzymes that sticks glutamates with another molecule to end up making glutathione. Essentially, more sulforaphane results in more glutathione and less depression, less psychosis. Just good research. So something to think about. University of California at Irvine, published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, shows that common herbs, I'm talking about lavender, fennel, and chamomile, have a long history in folk medicine. But now good science is showing they can lower blood pressure, for example, in a big way. And that's what this study showed, improved. I won't go into the chemistry's a little convoluted about how a specific potassium channel called KCNQ5 in blood vessels, together with another potassium channel, is expressed in vascular smooth muscle. And when activated, relaxes blood vessels, making it a logical mechanism for at least part of hypertension actions of certain folk remedies. But I'll just keep it at the macular level. When you take in lavender, fennel, and chamomile, you're helping to lower your blood pressure. But I also want people to realize that we've been using herbs for thousands of years, and now clinical trials are showing that, wow, they actually work. Of course they do. Harvard University, in a major meta-analysis, that's where you take a lot of studies and see if they're comparables that are statistically significant when you're looking at an analysis. And they did this with the omega-3 fish oil, and they linked it with a lower cardiovascular disease. So what's the takeaway message? People who receive your omega-3 fatty acids in a randomized clinical trials had lower risk of heart attack and other cardiovascular disease. Important. This was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. So take your omega-3s and have a healthier heart. I was asked recently about warts and what can you do to get rid of them? Well, they're viral in nature, but Hebrew University Medical School came up with a interesting technique, and it was published in Medical Acupuncture, that acupuncture can actually clear warts off your body. Now, we know that acupuncture is a traditional form of medicine used by the ancient Chinese to relieve pain and other ailments. And today, it's commonly associated with the use of needles that target certain meridians, and those meridians then spread energy, release energy, vibrate energy to different points in the body. And over the years, research has produced sufficient evidence to support the effectiveness and legitimacy of acupuncture in treating a lot of conditions like hypertension, rheumatoid arthritis, dysmenorrhea, and peptic ulcers. Well, now we can add warts. That's good. A lot of people have it. Also from University of Western Ontario comes a study about cannabis, reveals how CBD offsets the psychiatric side effects of THC. And I didn't know this. We didn't know this back when many of us had friends who were unfortunately regressed into psychosis, neurosis, and paranoid and delusional states when they were going heavy on marijuana. We were told that it was transient. In many cases, that would be true. But in the people I knew, two particular people, individuals, it was there for the rest of their life. They literally had to be taken care of by their family members. Two of them were my close friends. And so it's not transient in some people. But researchers now have shown for the first time that the molecular mechanisms at work that cause cannabinoid or CBD to block the psychiatric side effects caused by THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in cannabis. It has been previously shown that strains of cannabis with high levels of THC and low levels of CBD can cause increased psychiatric effects, paranoia, anxiety, addictive behaviors. But why that was occurring was not fully understood until now. Now they understand that when they investigated the role of a molecule in the brain's hippocampus called extracellular signal regulated kinase, or ERK, that triggers the neuropsychiatric effects of THC. And so for years, for decades, there are people who would manifest, others wouldn't. But all you have to have is a statistically significant number of people have an adverse effect of something for it to be considered adverse for your well-being. So now we can benefit as a society for seizures, for brain cancer, for lung cancer, for COPD, from CBD. Also, it will help now that we see with psychiatric conditions as well. My hope is that Dr. Peter Bregan and Dr. Michael Schachter, another board-certified psychiatrist who look at psychiatric conditions from a more humanistic and holistic perspective, will start to consider using CBD oil on psychiatric symptoms instead of any form of medication that could be extremely detrimental. By the way, this was published in the Journal of Neuroscience, one of the most respected peer-reviewed journals in the field. So, good news. So, now, type 2 diabetes, people ask me how it is I keep having people on the program who in a week or two are able to reverse all their diabetic conditions, high blood sugar, and bring them down to normal. The very first thing I do is get them on an exercise program, and it's a vigorous exercise program. It's modulated based upon what a person could do, so you don't overstress them, you don't overtax them, but it always increases. It increases in duration and intensity. Then you put them on a healthy, plant-based diet. You space their meals. You give them a quality plant-based protein 3 times a day, and you start to rebalance their body biochemistry. Well, this just came out today. Cambridge University, which is in the United Kingdom, said that, quote, people achieve weight loss of 10% or more in the first 5 years following diagnosis of type 2 diabetes have the greatest chance of seeing their disease go into remission. Now, mind you, that's just with weight loss. So you get weight loss by increasing your metabolism, and you increase your metabolism by exercise, not through diet. So by getting people out of a sedentary position into movement, you're able to help them. And that way, you're not just putting them in remission, you're reversing the disease entirely. Also, University of Central Florida, published in Scientific Reports, shows that autism can be linked to a chemical in processed foods. That's correct. Now, the focus is on one specific preservative known as PPA. Write that down, PPA, but it's ubiquitous in processed foods. Propionic acid is the actual name of it, propionic. But PPA is used to extend shelf life for a variety of foods and to prevent mold in most processed breads and cheeses. So when you have a cheese sandwich, you're getting two forms in your body. And healthcare professionals have long suspected a connection between gastrointestinal problems and autism spectrum disorder. And this just shows that. So this was the most recent study done at the University of Central Florida, and they showed that connection. Quote, the microbiome shift in maternal gut leads to formation of byproducts such as BPA, which then interferes with neural patterning during the early stages of fetus neural development. This favors glial progenitor cells, proliferation, and survival, leading to increased inflammatory profile and perturbed neural architecture. In lay language, what it means is that when the mother, or for that matter, a child, or an adult, is eating these preservatives in cheese and all these products, hundreds of products, then you are upsetting the natural way the body's microbiome communicates one to another. And that's important. So a healthy, plant-based, organic diet, you don't need any of that. You clean up the gut, recolonize that, and that's good. And finally, from Penn State University, people with anxiety may strategically choose worrying over relaxing. Now think about that. Relaxing is supposed to be good for the body and soul, and it is. But people with anxiety may actively resist relaxation and continue worrying to avoid that large jump in anxiety if something bad does happen. And that's what they found in this study. And it's a relaxation-induced anxiety. If people are not really willing to relax, then having them try to relax just induces more anxiety. That's a phenomenon that occurs when people actually become more anxious during relaxation techniques. That's why I've said many times, not everyone is ready for a retreat where we do silence and relaxation. They get very hyper, very anxious. So the very environment you bring a person into to help them could be the very environment that triggers them. And that's why not everybody is a candidate for, you know, a health study or a retreat, because they're too anxious. And they defend the legitimacy of their anxiety instead of looking at what it would be like if I came to something at a different level. I'll do one more, and that's University of California, San Francisco, did a study with Harvard University, and I believe it's the first time that they showed from their perspective, we have known this for a long time, that cooking food fundamentally alters the microbiomes of humans, a finding with enormous implications. Both positive and negative. Why? Because now there are hundreds of studies showing that the microbiome, your good bacteria, is helping communicate with your brain, better emotions, your heart, your lungs, your liver. The healthier your gut, the healthier your body. It's that simple. But a bad diet, highly cooked foods, processed foods, that creates bad bacteria, and then you get all the negative reactions from that. So this was published in Nature Microbiology, a very important peer-review study, and it was a 7-year collaboration. And that's what they found. So the more you cook your foods, the more those deep-fried foods and that junk food, The sicker your gut, the sicker your body. And one last thing before we take a break, and that is, this is from Mind Unleashed, and it says, the ADHD overdiagnosis epidemic is a schooling problem, not a child problem. What they say is simple, and I'll quote them. Quote, childhood exuberance is now a liability. Behaviors that were once accepted as normal, even if mildly irritating to adults, are increasingly viewed as unacceptable and cause for medical intervention. High energy, lack of impulse control, inability to sit still, and listening, lack of organizational skills, fidgeting, talking incessantly. These typical childhood qualities were widely tolerated until relatively recently. Today, children with these characteristics are being diagnosed with and often medicated for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder at an astonishing rate. And it's like they say it's a medical dragnet, and it is. The vast majority of children do not have any brain chemical imbalance. They're just being children. So it is not a way of legitimating pathologizing tens of millions of children. But 7 to 8 million children are taking psychiatric medications every day. That's how bad our society is at recognizing how we're being manipulated and taken advantage of. I'm Gary Noll. Now to one of several of our posts today. And this deals specifically with greening. And before we go there, I just want to give some suggestions. My hope is that this will get to Greta about what can be done immediately by her generation. All of us should do this, but I'm just really micro-focusing on the tens of millions of young people who are looking at her now as someone who can help guide them. And indeed, she can help guide them. So these are the suggestions. In fact, I'm just being told we have to take a break. So we're going to take a break and come right back, and then I'll give these suggestions. No, they say go ahead, do this. Here are suggestions. Number one, do not invest in green programs that are framed or based upon neoliberal capitalist models. As Greta noted in her UN talk, and rightly so, the fairy tale of eternal progress, eternal growth, which also means infinite growth, is monetary capital. Carbon tax alone just perpetuates the status quo. Be against carbon tax. It just means a rich country that is over-polluting can pay a carbon tax and share that with a non-polluting country. It doesn't change the ultimate amount of carbon dioxide or other polluting factors like methane from factory farming that goes in the atmosphere. It's a game, but the people like Al Gore and their hedge funds, they profit off these deals. Divest from companies relying upon fossil fuels. Have marches in front of every university and every pension, the teacher's pension, the firefighter's pension, the state employee's pension, mass block exits, or not block them from people entering or exit, but protest at these entry points and say, we're not going to support you and we're going to tell our parents to divest until you divest from every company relying upon fossil fuels. Don't make it mandatory. Get in their face. Weaning ourselves off the products that rely heavily upon metals and rare earth metals that require extensive mining operations, always to the detriment of the local people being exploited, frequently as new day slaves, and destruction of the environment. And those are the people who are the hedge funds, equity partners, the billionaires. Those are the people who unfortunately are behind Greta. Want to see a contradiction? Support Greta, yes. What she says is true. And she should even say it louder, in my opinion. But I don't support anyone, including her parents, behind her. And you'll see why. Because one of the people behind all this is Bill Gates, and he is one of the largest owners of stock in and support of genetic engineering all over Africa. Monsanto, he's one of the largest owners of Monsanto stock. So there's your contradiction. So they get an innocent child out there who is idealistic, and she's waking up the world, and then they capitalize on it. And that's not good. That will not help us. That will not save the planet. That will not change anything. But also, Greta, get every kid you know to stop using their cell phones and their laptops and buying new clothes and televisions. All those electronics, those are major contributors to global warming. You can't have it both ways. You're vegan, that's great. But the electronics and their manufacturing in China, Indonesia, major cause of pollution. So you got to get kids to start to communicate one-on-one, start writing longhand, start reading books. Go back to what we did in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s until we were overtaken with the convenience of electronics. Don't buy the lies of 5G. That's one of the biggest environmental problems in the world. And GMOs and big industrial agriculture consume less energy. And the green solutions are to go against the installation. If you got millions of kids to go into every community and challenge all of the major communication companies that are using 5G and protest, get rid of all smart meters, start a whole campaign. We'll give you the articles. We've written the articles. We've done the documentaries on 5G and smart meters, and we've sent all this to Greta. But you've got to get the message about 5G as being as dangerous today, more dangerous today than all the nuclear power in the world, because all those nuclear power plants, as bad as they are, they're not green. You've been told they're green. They're not. But study. Study the real experts. Did you notice that in all of this that's happened around the world, and all these panels, not a single one of the environmental climatologists, Carl Grossman, the people that, Guy McPherson, people like him, who know the truth of what's happening, not one was invited to speak. How do you get to meet the President of the United States, former Barack Obama, or the Pope? How do you get to meet Macron, the head of President of France, and speak before the French Parliament? How do you get to meet the Prime Minister and speak before the British Parliament, the United States Senate, the largest group? Did you notice that virtually every single group that she was welcomed by, applauded, praised, these are all the enemies? Now think of that for a moment. Everyone who wanted to exploit her invited her in. She was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, yet nothing she's done in her life in this 1 year has contributed to peace in the world. She was given Amnesty International completely. I detest Amnesty International. It should be not I cannot begin to tell you the contempt I have for that organization, its members. But they give her an award for what? Was she in the jungles helping indigenous tribes that were being slaughtered? No. So these are all faux awards that have no substance to them. When you build someone up, making them a new modern god or goddess, you're giving them a reputation they do not deserve. But what is your real motive for doing it? Why would the Economic Forum, the most corrupt people on the planet, the ultimate polluters, the people who fly 5,000 people on private jets to Davos, who don't give a damn about anybody but themselves. They're the massive narcissists of our society. They're the sociopaths of our society. These are the dreck of human nature. And they invite her in, and she screams at them. And they all applaud her. Every single group she's been in front of are neoliberals. All of them are ultimate capitalists. All of them are greed mongers. Did you ever think, when was the last time that Davos invited Chris Hedges to speak, or myself, or any of the other people who are more than capable of making him feel really bad about how they made their money and how they're exploiting the environment and people? Never. And when was the last time we were able to even have a discussion before Congress on 5G or GMOs or Wikipedia or the censorship of Google and Facebook and wouldn't ask them softball questions? Never. When was the last time any of us, the thousands of us who have committed our lives to social issues, been given any opportunity to ever have any legitimacy? First, none of us are considered legitimate. We're all denigrated by the very people that are standing giving her applause. Doesn't that send up a big-ass red signal right up your ass? That's my concern. So separate out her idealism, it's legitimate. Her concern, it's legitimate. Her desire to help make it a safer world, that's true. Her passion, that's real. And the suggestions I just gave, but also, remember, you don't get into these power circles unless you're going to serve their needs. Now, mark my words, watch the Al Gores and a whole plethora of these people coming forward. Everything should be a switch to a plant-based vegan diet. You're doing it, get the word out. Arnold Schwarzenegger's now vegan, that's good. James Cameron's a vegan, he's got a vegan school, that's good. Everything we do should reduce energy consumption. Change to energy-efficient light bulbs. Get rid of all the LED lights. Install heat pumps in homes. Unplug electric appliances like TVs, computers when you're not using them. When not in use, don't use hot water when washing. Look for Energy Star label when buying electronic appliances. Green our transportation. Take public transit. Share cars. Bike ride. Fly less. Adapt a minimalist lifestyle in order to consume less. I thought it was very noble that you came over in a yacht, but it turns out that's a royal yacht, and it turns out that it has to be a whole crew flown over to sail it back. And the crew that flew over, including with your father, have to fly back. When they showed that how much carbon was actually created from all that, it was a publicity stunt. You're not guilty of that, but the people behind you are. Take advantage of secondhand markets and become more conscious of recycling. I go down to the village. There's a old store that sells dirt cheap. I bought a suit for $10, and I just went and I restyle it myself. It's my nicest suit. So let's recycle. Support hemp products, hemp wood. Cotton industry is chemical and energy intensive. Plus, cotton is genetically modified, GMO. Hemp is our savior. Let's start planting trees. Thailand planted millions of trees with what are called tree bombs. And now there are millions, and in 1 year they've grown 24 inches. That's terrific. And how many have we grown? None. What if you got all those millions of kids to get their parents and start in their local communities to say, let's plant some trees? Can you do it? Well, how about poor Indian villagers planted 220 million trees in 24 hours? And we, the richest country in the world, we haven't planted a tree. So let's plant trees. Let's go vegan. And you got to do it at the state level. Those are some suggestions for Greta. And also to her parents. You're both rich. You're both famous, you're both successful, but you also have a daughter that has to be a teenager as well. There's a point to where you push her so much, you get so many advantages, you get so much publicity, you have a whole machine, you have an army behind you, and we're going to expose that in a moment here. Then when does she stop being a teenager and just become a manipulative ploy? Just a thought. I'm Gary Noll. Those are my thoughts, and you'll see everything I've just said is completely backed up with complete reference. Now, Jesse in New York, please play just 10 minutes so we can start to show you the people behind the scenes, because I know that it's not humanly possible for any individual on the planet to suddenly get in everywhere, have the whole world media doing what you say, unless you have some people behind the scenes. And it's not Greta. Again, I'm going to make it crystal clear. It's not Greta that I have any issue with. It's the people manipulating her.
Greta Thunberg. I'm 16 years old. I come from Sweden. And I want you to panic. We live in a strange world where the United Science tells us that we are about 11 years away from setting off an irreversible chain reaction way beyond human control that will probably be the end of our civilization as we know it.
I don't know, I just know what is right.
There is no hope. Where we think we can buy and build our way out of a crisis that has been created by buying and building stuff.
We need to keep the fossil fuels in the ground, and we need to focus on equity.
This is all wrong.
Then maybe we should change the system itself.
People see you, celebrities, as gods. You influence billions of people. We need you. You can use your voice to raise awareness about this global crisis. You can help us wake up the leaders and let them know that our house is on fire. You all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?
And we are running out of time.
You said to us a moment ago you want to push them against the wall.
You are not mature enough to tell it like it is.
To shame them, you said.
Those who need shaming. It actually has a lot of impact.
People who have contributed the least to this crisis are the ones who are going to be affected the most.
And yet you're stealing their future in front of their very eyes.
I want you to act as if the house was on fire. You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words.
Change is coming, whether you like it or not.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. Around the year 2030, we will be in a position where we set off an irreversible chain reaction that will most likely lead to the end of our civilization as we know it. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. Deforestation of our great forests, toxic air pollution, loss of insects and wildlife. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. The acidification of our oceans. We will not let you get away with this. These are all disastrous trends being accelerated by a way of life that we, here in our financially fortunate part of the world, see as our right to simply carry on. And change is coming, whether you like it or not. Our house is falling apart. Our leaders need to start acting accordingly. How dare you! Everyone and everything needs to change. How dare you! You need to listen to us. Everyone and everything has to change. Thank you.
Hi. As a Swede, I'd just like to say sorry for Greta Thunberg. She does not represent the majority of us. The hype by the media have managed to attract countless idealistic boomers, bored millennials, and traumatized children around the world to an apocalyptic climate cult. But this is not new. The foundation of the manipulation behind Greta Thunberg is old, a tested and proven method. It's just a new rapper, a new spokesperson. And one of the most insidious aspects is that Greta herself is being used. Sincere or not, I do believe she is sincere, but clearly misinformed. And encouraged by the adults around her, she is a manufactured asset that have been constructed by the very elites she claims to be fighting. Number one, Greta's rise to fame was not organic. Greta says in interviews that what got her started was watching climate documentaries in school. What she learned was that the world as we know it is going to end and we are on the brink of another mass extinction event due to man's exploitation of the earth, and the adult leaders are doing nothing about this. This scared her so much that she decided to take action. So Greta launched a one-girl school strike at the Swedish parliament on the morning of August 20th, 2018. PR man Ingmar Rentzog, founder of the environmental social media campaign We Don't Have Time, just by accident happened to be passing by that same day. So Rentzog took a picture of Greta, posted it on his personal Facebook page, tweeted it out from the official Twitter account for the group, And by late afternoon, the newspaper Dagens Nyheter had Greta's story and face on its website. Then the story went international and viral. However, it turns out that that story is a fairy tale. Thanks to investigative journalism, we've learned the following. Rentzhog met Greta's mother, the somewhat famous opera singer Malena Ernman, about 3 to 4 months before all of this got started. Rentzhog, who was trained by Al Gore's Climate Reality Project, had shared a stage with Malena at the conference called Climate Parliament. Rentzhog did not stumble across Greta's protest by accident. He had been informed a week earlier by climate activist Bo Thorén, who leads the fossil-free Dalsland group in Sweden, who was searching for fresh, green faces to, quote, get help from young people to increase the pace of the transition to a sustainable society, unquote. After Greta had won a second prize in an environmental op-ed writing competition run by the newspaper Svenska Dagbladet, Thorén approached all of the winners of the writing contest with a proposal, a plan for a school strike modeled after the Parkland student walkouts after the shootings in Florida. Apparently no one but Greta was interested, so she is the one who got the gig. Former Vice President Al Gore, who famously pitched similar apocalyptic ideas about rising sea levels and runaway anthropogenic global warming about a decade ago, is not the only influential and powerful person that was around Rentzhog and helped to shape his organization, We Don't Have Time. There are other people orbiting Greta, seeking to benefit politically and financially from her now world-famous campaign for climate justice. So hang on for this one here. Rentzhog and his CEO David Olsson have backgrounds in finance, not environmental activism. Rentzhog is the founder of Leica, an investment relations company, and Olsson with Svenska Bostadsfonden, one of Sweden's biggest real estate funds, whose board Rentzhog joined in June 2017. We Don't Have Time's investors include Gustav Stenbeck, whose family controlled Kinnevik, one of Sweden's largest investment corporations. In May 2018, Rentzhog and Olsson of We Don't Have Time became chairman and a board member of a think tank called Global Utmaning, Global Challenge. Its founder, Kristina Persson, is an heir to an industrial fortune. She is a career trade unionist and a social democrat politician, going back all the way to the golden age of Olof Palme of the Social Democratic Party. She is also an ex-deputy governor of Sweden's central bank and a New Ager who has discussed her reincarnations and communications with the dead. Between 2014 and 2016, Persson served as Minister for the Future in the Social Democratic government of Prime Minister Stefan Löfven. Petter Skogar, president of Sweden's biggest employers association, is on Global Challenge's 10-person board. So is Johan Lindholm, chairman of the Union of Construction Workers and member of the Social Democrats' executive board. So is Anders Wijkman, the vice president of the Club of Rome, chair of the Environmental Objectives Council, and he was also invited in February 2018 to Bo Thorén's event that sought to organize youth mobilization that we discussed earlier. Now, the anti-growth Club of Rome that Wijkman is vice president of is famous for its alarmist 1972 report, A Limit to Growth. And that became the cornerstone of the climate emergency campaign that now is beginning to pick up tremendous amount of speed. In December 2018, We Don't Have Time and Global Challenge launched the Club of Rome's latest vision of the apocalypse called the Climate Emergency Plan. Katarina Nystedt Ringborg, another board member of Global Challenge, is the former CEO of Swedish Water, advisor at IEA, the International Energy Agency, and former vice president at Swiss energy giant ABB. Katarina Ringborg is also a member of green energy venture capital firm Sustainable Energy Angels. Its members are a who's who of the Swedish energy sector. Sustainable Energy Angels president and chair of the investment committee are ex-ABB personnel, and so are 4 of its 17 members. It's an incestuous circus of energy sector social democrats that are seeking to transform the political climate and to place themselves in a leading position as they hope the world begins to restructure its energy needs.
We are running out of time.
Okay. That's just one clip. We're going to be playing you multiple clips. Now, just so you are clear, I do not edit anything out of context. His point of view is that he has 10 reasons why he considers what she is doing is a fraud. I consider what she is doing is 100% legitimate and even needs to do more. That's why I gave those additional ones. But what he is doing that we have not done but others are doing now is looking at all the major energy corporations, investment firms, all of the think tanks that are supported by people who are also on the boards of equity partners and hedge funds, and saying, how can we make this profitable for our group? Al Gore is the owner of a, I believe it's $7 billion now hedge fund, or it was. When you see his movies, you think, well, you know, he's into the environment, but then ask, is he a vegan? No. Is he planting trees? No. Is he downsizing his lifestyle? No. Is he flying on private jets unless he's filming himself for one of his documentaries and he carries his own luggage to an airport? Yeah. Is he meeting with thousands of people around the world and sharing with them how they can profit off the environment and, in their words, help the environment profit from it? Yes. Thousands upon thousands of people have attended his pay for pay and profit workshops. But in his last documentary, he actually slipped and put some of that in there. You see those people in those workshops. So these are what he's referring to when some of the people, and you'll see this woman in every one of the photographs of her everywhere. She's a handler, and she's in the one organization. She's with No More Time. She's with all these foundations, and she was trained by Al Gore. And there's Al Gore, lo and behold. And remember, all these very powerful people that go to Davos, these are the polluters. These are the people who are the ultimate capitalists. They are the neocons. These are the people who benefit from war, but they'll say that they want green. They want to save the planet. Well, then why on their own personal lives and their own personal companies, why aren't they doing anything? Anything? Well, solar, but you own the solar plant, and you're looking for subsidies for your solar plant. Is that your only answer? That's not it. In fact, if you look carefully at how much energy it takes to create a solar panel, and that's something we're going to be showing this week. And tomorrow, you're going to say, well, wow, there should be better ways. There are geothermal and wave power that don't do any pollution, don't extract any heavy metals from the earth, don't cause any problems, and yet there's no money to be made from those. And yet they work. Look at Iceland. It works. So what we're doing is simply showing you how the legitimacy of movement, the legitimacy of an idealistic young person that should be honored and respected, has an awful lot of economic vultures behind it. And that's how come all these venues opened up. These people are on everyone's boards. They're all interconnected. They all know one another. They're corporately friendly. Otherwise, there's no power on earth could open up all these doors this quickly and get this positive press. But there are PR firms behind this. There are multiple agents behind this. Everyone that can exploit this is, and that's unfortunate because I don't believe she is aware of any of this. So take the message. It's real. But don't succumb to these people controlling how we go about saving the planet. Tomorrow you're going to hear something you've never heard before. That turning off all the pollution out there, which we should be doing, is going to give us an orality check. I'm going to play a BBC special I just watched this morning. It's scary as hell. It's called Global Dimming. The all aerosol masking effect that can heat up the world in weeks past 2.0 degrees centigrade if global warming is subsiding. So there's a lot of very complex science involved. We're finding out more things, and I'll keep you posted on all of this. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.